Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're talking about police accountability, or crushing the ability of police officers to work in the business, or crushing the ability of cities and towns to employ police officers and have police departments. Your thoughts, please. Anne in Torrington, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hi. I just have a quick comment to make about qualified immunity. I have a son who is a police officer in a pretty good-sized town, well, a city here in Connecticut, and mm-hmm. He has told me that if they pass that through, everybody he knows on the force is quitting. They do not want to put their homes and their families at risk for the job.
But don't they have so much invested in their careers that that would be a really hard thing for them to do?
It is a hard thing for them to do, but you have to remember, most cities right now do not have their officers' backs. There are very few cities here in Connecticut that support their police. So many of them are politically motivated and to appease their constituents or whatever pressure group, they're just not supporting their officers. So it's tough enough as it is. But that would be, I think, the straw that breaks the camel's back in their minds.
All right, Ann. Thank you for sharing that with us. Ann says her son, police officer in Connecticut, says everybody will leave. If this legislation Democrats are planning to start voting on tomorrow passes. 860-522-9842. Your thoughts, please. It's WTIC. How can Democrats pass the thing they are going into session tomorrow morning to pass? They're scheduled to go into session tomorrow morning to pass. They're trying to keep it as secret as possible, so it's important for us to blow the lid off of it, for you to call your legislator and say, make sure, especially for members of the House, make sure you let them know that you, well, whichever side you're on, it seems to me hard to imagine supporting a bill that is contrived simply to satisfy a riled up base of the Democrats that is looking for police departments to be curbed in some way. And Democrats are trying to curb those police departments. They want to allow cops to be sued. How do you have somebody whose job it is to be on the front lines against the most dangerous people? How do you say to that guy, he can't go out there and do his job without the threat of being of facing a civil lawsuit for the way he does it? 860-522-9842. If you want to comment on this, we've got full phone lines. Keep the calls coming. You can also comment on the rant line, 860-751-4698. Don't forget, we play the rant line in about an hour, so there's time for you to get your comment in there as well. 860-522-9842. Join us on air, and we go to John in Kensington. Hi, John.
Hi. I was going to say that if you think that we should defund police departments, you're a young person, there's probably nothing I'm going to say or do to convince you differently. And that's okay. I would ask you, though, respectfully, go ask the advice of the oldest member of your family. Go ask your grandmother, what does she think about that idea, and listen carefully.
But John, what does it mean, that phrase, defund the police?
Well, I think what they're trying to do in some instances in New York City, they're reducing the police department funding and using it for all the poverty pimps. And so, you know, they're not going to eliminate police departments, but they'll eliminate SWAT teams, people that come rushing in when everyone else is rushing out, and training for policemen and all that. And so it's nonsense. It's all about providing money to the poverty pimps. Pay off the leaders, and they'll disperse the crowd for you. That's what this is about. In fact, the worst decision I've read about this year, New York City is going to stop cleaning the graffiti off buildings. They're taking away that segment of their city government that cleans graffiti. And they're talking about people leaving the city, property values going down. The worst decision they could possibly make is to stop cleaning the graffiti.
All right, John, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Defund the police. Do you agree with this idea or not? It's not such a far-fetched idea on its face, maybe, because the idea is to take some of the money away from police in order to use it for things that might be done for by people who aren't carrying weapons. So that sounds kind of appealing, but I don't know if any of those calls that you might send a social worker on are going to be handled by a social worker alone. It would seem to me the social worker's boss is going to be calling the police to back him up if he's sending one of his social workers, in which case you made the cop's job harder because now he's got to protect the social worker who's on the scene as well. Sharrick in Hartford, hi.
Hi, Mr. Feinberg, how are you? You know, I live in Hartford, and as the bill stands, I don't know the whole language of the bill, I'm against it. The reason is that I'm against it, period, about stripping or weakening the immunity of the police department, of the cops, individual cops, or the department per se. The reason is that we need a healthy fear of the cop. I don't want the cops to instill fear, but we need a healthy fear of the cops by the ordinary citizen and the people who are thinking they're doing something wrong. So if you weaken the immunity, that's going to weaken their ability to do the job. The other thing which I heard it, that if there are four cops doing something, then all the four cops are going to keep an eye on who's doing what and what. And there's some kind of whistleblower things instilled into this. This means that all the cops are doing, they're going to look over the shoulder what they're doing or not, you know. So I don't want to defund the cops. I live in Hartford. I know what's going on, and I do not want to. I'm against this bill, period, you know.
All right. Sharrick, thank you for your opinion. 860-522-9842. If you want your neighborhoods kept safe, if you want your government kept affordable, I mean, the financial part of this, the insurance guy who called us a few minutes ago and said, costs $500 to $800 a month, I think he said. No, a year for a police officer to buy a $25,000 policy right now. That is with the backup of the law protecting them from liability. Imagine if that was opened up. 860-522-9842. They're supposed to vote tomorrow morning in the House on a measure that is still being modified. So if you don't know what's in it, well, nobody really knows what's in it, because when the Democrats, the good government people, the compassion crowd, want to do lovely, beautiful government, they secretly negotiate the bill amongst themselves and then cobble together the best thing they can and try to build a consensus and then try to get it passed before anybody, including a lot of their own members, know what's in it. That's how they do it, the good government crowd. 860-522-9842. Really? Jim calling from Durham. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Todd. Okay, if this is what the Democrats want, and then I see this as a two-way street. Years ago, the politicians, all of them, built into their rules and regulations that are just for them and them only, that if they craft the bad bill, if they pass the bad law, then they're not held responsible for the unforeseen damages that happen down the road. So then eliminate those rules and regulations for the politicians. Make them responsible for the bad bills and the bad laws that they pass. And as far as defunding goes, defund the Capitol Police, in D.C., and the Capitol Police in all 50 states. Get rid of them, give them other assignments, get them out of the Capitol, and let the politicians, if they want security, at their own expense, not the taxpayers' expense, at their own expense, hire their own private security. And then,
Jim, that's very good. That's really, you know, you're saying hit them where it hurts. If they really think that what's good for the average person is to not have the protection of a confident and aggressive police officer when the trouble starts, confident that he's going to have the backing of his municipality, of the laws, of the state, of the legislature, if you don't want that for the people who live in those neighborhoods, then why should you have it for yourself? I think that's brilliant to say to the politicians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's my two cents. Run with it and have a good day, okay?
Thank you, Jim. I think we have to raise the value beyond 2 cents, but that's really good. Yeah, Jim is saying if they want to take away the protections of police officers to be able to go do their jobs and not be sued based on personal liability, to face a civil lawsuit for misusing the power that have been the powers that have been bestowed upon them, then why wouldn't you do the same thing? Why would you not do the same thing to the politicians? The politicians are constantly doing things that are bad for the state. Imagine if you could sue. Imagine if you could sue to get back at the people who ran up $150 billion tab giving benefits to the union workers and then not funding those benefits. How about liability for them? 860-522-9842. Matt, calling from New Hartford. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Todd. You know, I remember New York before Giuliani. It was a mess. And while Giuliani was mayor, my daughter was fortunate enough to skip a grade in high school and get accepted at Juilliard as a harp major. And wow. I was very reluctant to send a 17-year-old to New York City.
Yeah, New York was a dangerous, wild, scrappy place in those days.
Exactly. However, she did go there in, you know, like 2004 when Giuliani was around and so forth. My point is, Giuliani, when he cleaned up the city, he had a thing called the broken window syndrome. I read about
it.
And it was about if you have a broken window, you fix it. You don't leave it there and then invite other people to break more windows. Also, he went after the jaywalkers instead of the murderers because they figured, man, if I'm arresting these jaywalkers and punishing them, what's he going to do to murderers? So that's how he cleaned up the city. Now, if just the graffiti stays on there because of this de Blasio and his pandering, it's just going to get worse and worse because it's just going to be, it's going to invite more. You know, it's ridiculous.
So what you're talking about is community policing. And this is a big part of it, the idea being you let the community know that everything is being watched and taken care of, that there's pride in the community, so that if a window gets broken on a building, you try to get that fixed right away. If the graffiti goes up overnight, you want someone there in the morning spraying it off. And
exactly.
By doing that, you create a larger sense of community caring and investment and attention. And that calms down people who want to do bad things. And I don't know if you saw or heard us talking about it yesterday, this video that was made over the weekend of a couple of hundred kids on bicycles riding their bikes and popping wheelies on I-91 near New Haven. It was a stunning video taken by somebody who's driving down in the left two lanes, which were available to cars, and the right two lanes, I think it was Yeah, I think so. They're riding their bikes and popping wheelies like law and order doesn't exist. And I fear that the Democrats are bringing us to that kind of point where we've got the opposite of community policing. We've got community breakdown so that we lose our ability to maintain order in our society.
Exactly. And these Democrats in Hartford, they better not do all this crap because this is getting outrageously ridiculous.
Yeah, as insidious as this measure is, I'm sort of hoping they push it through because I think if they do, this will be the big turning point in terms of voting in November. The governor's been working so hard to make sure that the COVID thing covers up all the malfeasance of the Democrats so they can get through the November election without suffering big losses. And this could upset that apple cart. Paul calling from Southington. Hi, Paul.
Yes, Todd. I have a bone to pick with you, and I'm going to be short and sweet on the bone here. I am getting awfully tired of hearing you run down Ned Lamont when Ned Lamont has created a situation where our COVID numbers are in the cellar, and he has saved many lives. And that's all I want to say.
How did he create that? Well, explain. How did he create that situation?
How did he create the situation of the COVID numbers?
Yes.
So we do?
The third highest, Connecticut has the third highest rate of death in the country from COVID.
We're talking about that's not the point. The point is, right now, we are in one of the best, I think it's three states in the country, with COVID. And I work in healthcare. I've been working in healthcare through this whole crisis. I'm a state of Connecticut employee, and you run down the employee unions.
Okay, let me just explain to you so you understand that you're talking about two different things. The reason that Connecticut
employee union, okay, but go ahead.
The reason COVID is low in Connecticut right now is the same reason it's low in New Jersey and New York and Massachusetts, which were hit very hard and very early. The reason is they had it first. We had it first. New York had it first. New York City had it first. New York City was a disaster. Connecticut has the third highest rate of death. That is, more people dying here.
You're going to do anything to be negative on Ned Lamont. He's done a great job.
I'm not going to.
I'm not going to.
What I'm doing is giving you facts.
I'm leaving you. Goodbye.
All right. I just want you to consider the facts, Paul. I know facts are scary. It is very easy for the governor to trick you because Connecticut got hit early that somehow Connecticut is brilliant. He wants you to fall for something as dumb as that. But all that means is we have a big country with lots of land and lots of miles between places, and it takes time for the thing to migrate around the country. It also may be a couple other factors, too. 860-522-9842.
The mask on your face, your big disgrace, spreading your germs all over the place. We will not sing that song.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big
I love that, defender of the governor. Don't make me confront any facts. I love my union paycheck. I love making bloated compensation. I love my retirement benefits being unpayable by the state. I don't care if the state's being crushed financially, if it's falling apart financially. It's the great Governor Lamont who I follow and support. What a wonderful call that was. 860-522-9842. Yes, it was wonderful. We want those people on the air. Hello, John. You're back again, and I love it. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Anyone that thinks that Lamont did a great job controlling COVID, I want them to look at this one fact. He pushed hospitals to take seniors that had COVID and to push them into nursing homes. My wife is a director of nursing homes, and I know for a fact, because I saw the information, they told him that nursing homes were not properly equipped to handle a contagion. And the fact of the matter is, after he pushed them into nursing homes, the COVID rate in nursing homes skyrocketed. The amount of deaths of COVID in nursing homes was the highest percentage of deaths in the state and almost in America. We had a death rate of almost 14% of the people that went into nursing homes for COVID. And this governor, this lame governor, refuses to take responsibility of it, just like the lame governor in New York did the same exact thing, and now he's being sued for it. So to say he did a good job, you're just not reading the facts right. That's all I got to say.
No, that's why he ran when I started with the facts. He knew he was in trouble. And it's fine. You know, he doesn't know the facts. He's got an opinion. We all do that to some extent. But we should be welcome to what reality is and face up to what the truth is. And there is no way. First of all, his argument, John, I don't know if you noticed, his argument was everything's good in Connecticut right now. And in California, it's a mess. And in Arizona, it's a mess. And in Texas, it's a mess. Well, those places are thousands of miles away.
Exactly.
That's how this thing rolls. It hit first on the East Coast. John, thank you for the call. Always good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. If Governor Lamont does something right or does something with purity of purpose and purity of heart and there's some shred of evidence, I will hold it up and shine a spotlight on it because it will be a glorious thing to see. So far, that hasn't happened. He lies, he cheats, he manipulates, he misrepresents. He holds back the truth so you don't get to know what the truth is. That's what he's up to.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.